Good evening, Potter's Foursquare Church. This is Pastor Paula coming to you from my home office. I hope you're all doing well. We're continuing our study on Wednesday evenings in the book of Acts. And if you have your Bible and you want to read along, tonight we'll be in Acts 9, 32 to 43. And it reads, "As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. Immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon." So a few observations we have here. Great miracles, two awesome miracles here. Peter travels to Lydda, where he meets a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed for 8 years. And he says to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. And then he's summoned over to Joppa, where a disciple named Tabitha had died. And he goes to where she's at, and he sends everyone out of the room, and he shuts the door, and he kneels down, and he prays. And then he turns to her, and he tells her to get up, and he helps her to her feet. You know, many people were saved in both of these miracles in their towns, in both Lydda and Sharon, and then in Joppa. Again, miraculous healings. But what I want to talk about tonight is just as miraculous as how God used Peter in these healings. And you might say, well, why Peter? I mean, what makes Peter a miracle? I mean, he was one of the disciples after all. He walked with Jesus for 3 years, and he was part of that inner circle. You know, what makes him that miracle? But, you know, I think what we need to realize is he was a miracle, because prior to meeting Jesus, Peter was a flawed man. And even as he walked with Jesus, he was a failure many, many times. You know, to really appreciate how God used Peter, let's look back at some of Peter's actions prior to Christ's crucifixion. You know, Peter often spoke without thinking, was brash and impulsive. Peter and the other disciples often needed Jesus to explain the parables. Now, you'd think walking that closely with Jesus, they would get it, but even they didn't. Peter fails to continue to walk on water when he's in a boat and he sees Jesus coming, and he steps out and he walks on water, but the minute he takes his eyes off of Jesus, what does he do? He sinks. He was a man filled with selfish ambition. He argued with the other disciples about which one of us is the greatest. You know, Peter speaks in a holy moment. They're up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and when Moses and Elijah appear to talk to Jesus, Peter, when he sees him, he's like, oh, this is good that we're all here. You know, let's build three shelters for all of you. You know, it's like, Peter, you just talk without thinking here. You know, Peter resists Jesus when he says that he's going to wash Peter's feet. And he says, no, you don't need to wash my feet. But Jesus says, if you don't let me wash my feet, you can be no part of me. And so he's, oh, Lord, just everything, just completely bathe me. You know, again, he's going to this extreme. Jesus is just like, I'm going to wash your feet. And then the one that we remember the most is when Peter denies Jesus three times in public. Three times he does this. And that seems to be the one that we focus on the most. And then, you know, overwhelmed by his sin, he goes back to fishing. He doesn't even continue to the work that Jesus had been doing, and him as one of the disciples. And that was until Jesus restores him. And we have this beautiful picture in the end of John, in John chapter 1, where Jesus comes to him and says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he says, yes, you know I love you, Lord. Then feed my sheep. Three times Jesus says to him. And, you know, it's here that Jesus commissions Peter for what we see in Acts. You know, Peter caring for Jesus' sheep, the believers. He was caring for this man who had been paralyzed by letting him know that Jesus Christ healed him. And even though Tabitha had died, he comes along and prays over her. And you know, God raises her from the dead. There are a lot of instances where Peter would do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing. Yet it was Peter that Jesus said, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Peter had failed considerably, yet by God's grace he persevered. Peter was forgiven and at Pentecost empowered by the Holy Spirit to do great things for God's kingdom. God would use him to strengthen the faith of other believers. There is hope for those who fail. After all, faith is the gift of God and not a reward for our good works. You know, we all have a list like Peter. Every last one of us. I have a list of a lot of things I did. And I grew up in church and I was memorizing Bible verses and learning all the Bible stories and singing songs and memorizing the order of the books in the Bible, but yet I was still a failure. I still did things that I shouldn't have done. It wasn't until I was in my early 20s that I had denied Jesus in my life by my actions. And I hadn't been in church for some time, and I went back to church. And the first Sunday there, I was just at the altar call. I was just crying. Couldn't even speak. I couldn't even get the words out about what I needed prayer for. And the person just started praying. Next thing I know, they're just praying everything that I needed to have said. Things that nobody would have known unless I told them. That was God restoring me back to my relationship with him. And ever since that moment, I have not turned back. So, you know, again, we all fail. But God is just and faithful to forgive us. We just come to him and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's for all of us. You know, something that's important to remember is that even though the disciples were walking with Jesus, they weren't saved yet. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. So of course he's going to fail the way he did. It wasn't until Jesus died on the cross, rose again, and ascended to heaven that salvation became possible and that the Holy Spirit would be given. That was the promise. You know, Peter was empowered by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's why he was able to do these miracles. Even though Peter was restored, he was still Peter. His personality didn't change, but it would be fine-tuned and the Spirit would lead him. I thank God for that because mine needs to be fine-tuned regularly. Peter was faithful to visit the believers, to feed Jesus' sheep, to take care of them. And that's what we see him doing in Lydda with Aeneas is healed and Dorcas, who was raised from the dead. You know, both healings were like ones that he had witnessed Jesus perform. In Matthew 9, 1 through 8, Jesus heals a paralyzed man. First, he tells him his sins are forgiven, and then he tells him to get up, take your mat, and go home. Very similar to the miracle that we see here in our text. And then in Mark 5, 21 through 43, Jesus heals Jairus' daughter, who was dying. And he goes into the room and shuts the door, and he takes her by the hand and tells her to get up. The only difference is Peter gets on his knees and prays because he's needing to pray to the Lord, bring the healing by the power of the Holy Spirit, which he does. You know, what Peter experienced previously with the Lord, he experienced again with the Lord. The only difference was that now the Lord was not visible, though he was just as present and just as real. Jesus was there working through Peter to bring healing by the power of the Holy Spirit. My question is, how important is the role of the Holy Spirit in our life? We need the Holy Spirit. He's very important in the life of the believer. You know, the Holy Spirit is a helper who teaches and reminds us. In John 14, 26, Jesus told his disciples, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance what I have said to you." I can only imagine that during both of these miracles that Peter was reminded of what he saw Jesus do and how he did it. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, you know, of sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit dwells in the believer and fills them. The Holy Spirit is God's presence in the life of a believer. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 3:16. The Holy Spirit is a source of revelation, wisdom, and power. God gives his followers the Holy Spirit so that we may know him better. Since the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit, it knows the thoughts of God and reveals those thoughts to the believer. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to the hope of salvation and the inheritance that we have in Christ. The Holy Spirit guides us in all truth, including knowledge of what is to come. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. That's in John 16:13-15. The Holy Spirit is a seal in the lives of the believer. The Holy Spirit is our mark of adoption as God's children. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to his followers so that we could be confident in our salvation. And the Holy Spirit helps in a Christian's weakness and intercedes for them. Romans 8:26-27, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Romans 8:26-27. The Holy Spirit makes believers new and gives them eternal life. We are born again of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in the lives of believers to renew, sanctify, and make us holy. Just as the Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead, the Holy Spirit will give eternal life to believers in Christ. Romans 8:10-11. And the Holy Spirit sanctifies and enables believers to bear good fruit in their lives. And what is that good fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. The result from the healings in our text produced salvation for many and came because of a flawed man forgiven and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The response of the people to both miracles was the same. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him, the paralyzed man, walking and turned to the Lord. And it became known throughout all Joppa that Dorcas was raised from the dead, and many believed on the Lord. Praise God. It's not for our glory, it's for God's glory and for others to see those miracles and come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So how do we stick this to our souls? You know, God is calling each of us to recognize our failures, accept God's forgiveness, and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we look back at our failures and think, why did I do those things? They were worth nothing. But he takes our failures and he takes our joys and everything that we do, both good and bad, and he molds and shapes that into our personality. He teaches us and we learn from both of those experiences and become the believers that we are. And God uses us because of the good and the bad, because of the things that we learned. So I want to close with these words penned by the Apostle Peter from 2 Peter 1:3-11. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father God, thank you that though we may be flawed people, we are made whole when we come to know you as our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, that you use each of us as individuals with varying personalities, and you are the one that molds and shapes those personalities to do the good works that you've called us to do. Lord, you are to be glorified for any work that you choose to use us as your vessels to bring hope and salvation to a dying world. So we thank you, Lord. We glorify you. May we be reminded, Lord, that you love us. You do not reject us. That you take us, like I said, and you mold us and you shape us to use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Maybe you're hearing this for the first time, this podcast, and maybe you don't know the Lord, but you'd like to know more about him and know more about these miracles and how he can take your life and make it like Peter's. So if that's you, I just want to encourage you. All you have to do is just, you know, right where you're at, just stop and just ask Jesus to come to your heart. Say, you know what, Lord, forgive me. I know I'm a flawed man. I'm a flawed woman. But Lord, I want to know you more intimately. Come and make your home in my heart that I may walk with you. And he'll do just that. So if you've done that and you've accepted the Lord, I encourage you under our under the tab of, losing my train of thought here. Under the, there's a tab there where you can contact us, and you click on that, and there's a phone number, and that's the church number, and you can call and just let us know so we can celebrate with you. And if you want to talk to someone, at the end of that recording is Pastor Greg's phone number, and you could call him and he'd be really happy to rejoice with you and even pray with you again. So anyway, love you all. God bless you, and hope to see you again soon.